This is We Teach Languages, a podcast about language teaching from the diverse perspectives of real teachers. I'm Stacey Margarita Johnson, and today on episode 78, Han Zhao interviews Wilbur Wong about his approach to teaching English as a foreign language at his Chinese university. There are a couple of things I love about this interview. First, I love that Han was Professor Wong's student and has since gone on to become an EFL teacher herself. Their interactions in this interview are just great, and I'm so grateful to Han for taking the initiative to record this interview with one of her favorite English teachers and submit it to the podcast. In fact, I'm going to take a moment to encourage all of you listening to think about if there is a language teacher in your life who's been especially important to you. Maybe they taught you a language, or maybe they've been a mentor to you in your language teaching journey, and you might want to reach out to them and record an interview with them that we can air on the podcast. That is one of the great joys of the We Teach Languages podcast, is that anyone can interview anyone and have that interview included among the many dozens of voices of language teachers that have already been featured on our podcast. So, without further ado, here's Han Zhao and Wilbur Wong.
In your opinion, what does excellent language teaching look like?
Well, firstly, thank you for your question. Well, in my opinion, the teacher should have the ability to motivate their students to learn.
Yeah.
In my opinion, excellent language teaching is not just the simple delivery of language points or the knowledge about language in general to the students. To make students understand well what this word means or what this language structure is like.
Yeah.
Instead, more importantly, the author needs to know the students' interests and understand the students very well.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to provide the relevant materials which are tailored to the student's individual needs. And
yeah.
Much more importantly, they need to know how to make the students feel interested in learning English as a foreign language, as well as well in motivating the students to learn on their own, instead of just being reliant on the teacher's one-directional or unidirectional teaching. Moreover, it needs also excellent language teaching should be interactional. It should
mm-hmm.
be interactive. In other words, the two sides, both the teacher and the students, need to get involved in not just the learning and teaching the foreign language. Although the teacher plays the major role in the teaching activities, actually
mm-hmm.
the students' roles should never be underestimated. Instead, they need to be guided to reflect on their own strengths and weaknesses, and they have the responsibility to convey their strengths and weaknesses, their understandings about their own abilities in general, in other words, to the students, to the teachers, so that the teacher can better understand how they think and how they feel about language learning and in every step. And also the teacher need to involve the students in assessing themselves. That's also what I'm doing here now.
Yeah.
It's called student self-assessment, and also it's called student peer assessment. In other words, the students can assess each other's
mm-hmm.
progress of learning and so on. So motivating the students and understanding each and every individual student's needs and strengths and weaknesses. I think this is what we call and provide relevant materials and tailored materials
mm-hmm.
and tailored instruction correspondingly. I think this is what we mean by saying excellent language teachers.
I like what you described, so that's why you were so special to
Good.
Me during my college life. Because I think that while some other teachers in our university still employed the kind of grammar translation method in English teaching, but you asked us to read
uh-huh.
not the textbooks, but authentic texts like The Economist, New York Times, and some great thought-provoking articles such as Why Don't We Complain by William Buckley. So what do you think are the benefits of reading those authentic texts rather than textbooks? What's your opinion on like textbook or language learning materials selection?
Well, that's based on my own personal experience as well as both an English learner and a teacher of English.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in my opinion, the textbooks, generally speaking, especially those textbooks used in China, and not only at primary, secondary schools and at university levels,
mm-hmm.
all those textbooks mostly they contain selected materials. You know, those materials are selected by the panel of experts.
Yes.
Okay, they think that, these materials are suitable for the students' learning.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, they will adapt those materials. Well, I use the word adapt. Sometimes they adapt, sometimes they revise those materials according to their own thinking. Well, according mm-hmm. to their own conception about English learning in general. But I think that if we want to learn the English language as any other kind of language, we need to get in touch with the authentic English input instead of being given the materials by other people.
Mm-hmm.
There is a world of materials in our hands and in front of us, especially in the age of internet.
Yes.
Well, why should we just confine ourselves to those chosen materials? I mean, those materials chosen by other people instead of those materials that we can get in touch with. Well, when we should be, as we should be, in the sea of English learning. So
mm-hmm.
in that case, I think that we have the duty, instead we can take the initiative to find some materials. As a teacher, I never get the point why we should have textbooks for English learning, actually, especially for Chinese learners. Well, probably at the primary and secondary schools, we need to have some textbooks
mm-hmm.
so that the students can get in touch with the basic scaffolding skills. They need to know the basic language structure, the basic language points, and so on and so forth. But for university students, for undergraduates, how come that we still need to have so many materials in front? When we have the access to the internet,
mm-hmm.
when we have the access to so many wonderful English materials, why should not we just, get directly in touch with those materials? Moreover, I think that as an English language, for any language, it's a kind of, especially for a language that has been widely used by so many people around the world every day, there is something new about the English language use
mm-hmm.
every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we can have the right to, we have the authority to do this.
Yes.
And moreover, more importantly, learning a foreign language is not just involved in learning the basic patterns of this language, the basic sentence structures, the language points, and so on and so forth. More importantly, I hope my students to learn something about behind the language. For example,
mm-hmm.
the thought conveyed by the English language. So that's why I chose the essay, Why Don't We Complain? We can see, this is kind of, thinking involved in this type of writing and why we should read
true.
Economists, because we can see, they present us with different perspectives on a certain type of issues and so on and so forth. And also, I think that, by doing this, besides the content it delivered, it also delivers us a kind of thinking. What type of logical thinking is involved? So if we want to become an international citizen in the future, if we want to have international horizons, since I am a person who advocates and who is in support of globalization, I think that
mm-hmm.
and internationalization, I think that, as long as we need to want to broaden our international horizons, we need to know something. Well, we need to know that English as a lingua franca is a kind of global language.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know how to use this language effectively. But how can we do that? We can just know how native speakers, especially those proficient native speakers, those well-educated native speakers of English, how they use language,
mm-hmm.
use the English language so that we can command the logic. The logic underlying this language so that we can communicate more effectively by using this language. These are the two points. Number one, getting in touch with the latest content, the update conveyed by the English language
mm-hmm.
by reading authentic materials. The second one point is that, we can understand the logic, the thinking behind the English language by reading authentic materials. The third one, okay, additionally, as I mentioned before, is to move away the obstacles, the barriers posed by us, posed by the textbooks, the so-called textbooks. Mm-hmm. Those are inauthentic, not so good materials, and then to get in touch with that by ourselves.
One reason that some teachers stick to the textbooks because of the tests, you know, because I think even in the colleges, in the universities in China, the teaching of languages are still test-oriented. Do you think so?
Yes, they are still test-oriented, sure.
And since your research field is assessment and evaluation in higher education, so what do you think of this kind of English proficiency tests in China that college students are taking now? And do you think, are they able to show students real language level?
Well, I frankly, although I'm a person who majors in research on English language testing and in test preparation in particular, I do not think that, well, we need to have the English test as the only guidance for us in terms of teaching and learning in China. Mm-hmm. Especially for the English proficiency test in China, I do not think that, well, it's just a matter of extent when you ask me whether they will represent the teachers, the students' real English level. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just a matter of extent. It's hard to tell. Well, in some aspects, for example, the test of the students' command of the knowledge about English, for example, some very strange language structures, or not so commonly used language structures, for example, the subjunctive multiple, those tests are really good indicator.
Yeah.
Because they're almost every year they will test you about your knowledge about the subjunctive root. But for what? I do not think that the English language should be tested in that way.
I think so.
Instead, I think that the test might not have so high a validity in terms of the English students' ability to use English in real life contexts. Instead, it mainly serves to test the students' knowledge about some kind of language knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the so-called, what we call, the students' ability to use English in specific real-life contexts.
Yeah.
There are two different issues.
These are
two different issues.
Super.
So I think that, well, in terms of the teaching, we should never be guided by such things as English proficiency test in any type. But it's not to say that the English proficiency test is of no use. Instead, they may provide us some kind of diagnostic information about the student's ability.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I would like to say, well, the TOEFL test, the IELTS test, especially the TOEFL test, I think that I prefer the TOEFL test very much because, for example, the reading test, the TOEFL reading part, it can tell us a lot about the student's knowledge about vocabulary, their ability to make inference, their ability to understand the details of a paragraph, and their ability to summarize, and their ability to understand the long and complex sentences.
Yes.
Okay?
And the last question. So I know that you've been a visiting scholar in Queen's University in Canada. So what do you think that experience influenced you on your perceptions and practices of English language teaching?
Well, that influenced me quite a lot. I think that changed my mindset about English learning and English teaching. Well, to a large extent, significantly. Firstly, I find that, well, before I went abroad to Canada, I just thought that, well, English language is just a tool of communication.
Yes.
And later on, I found that, well, for us, well, English language is not just a tool of communication. It's more than that. It's a kind of conveyance, a tool to convey it's a tool for intercultural communication. It's highly important in that, well, it helps to shape our thinking. Language can be used to shape people's thinking, to shape people's mind.
Yes.
It's really, through the English language, it really opens a door for us to understand the foreign world. Because, well, when I, before I went abroad, I just thought about English as a kind of just a language.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after I went abroad, I found that, well, as a tool of communication, it can go help us facilitate our better understanding of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can better appreciate the good aspects of both cultures. I mean, both Chinese culture and
it's
the
like
Western culture.
Kind of cultural communication.
Yes, it's a kind of cultural communication. You get to know, well, probably, if you are a proficient English learner,
mm-hmm.
it can help you, you know, have an in-depth understanding
yeah.
of those things. Because without that language, or if you are not such a good language user of English, well, probably you may just have some superficial understanding of the both cultures.
Mm-hmm.
But with this language, if you are a proficient language learner, user, you are going to have much more sensitivity towards the differences, the commonalities between these two cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I think, well, it offers you a way of viewing the world, a way of thinking.
Yeah.
A way of thinking and a way of viewing the world. And later on, after I came back to China, I feel that, well, as a teacher and researcher of English language education, I would prefer to, you know, I would like to devote much more time than
mm-hmm.
previously to my teaching and to my research, especially to my teaching efforts,
mm-hmm.
so that I can help more students go abroad to view the world. Because it's not until that, well, they have been abroad that they will have a better understanding of our mother culture,
mm-hmm.
of the world culture, that they would have a better and more cosmopolitan perspective on this world. This is what we call the international horizons. In Chinese, we call 国际视野.
Yes.
Well, so I think that, well, it liberates them to a certain extent because they are no longer being confined to what they see, just what they see being in front of them. Instead, they are liberated. It's a kind of liberation of their minds. It's not just, you know, just a foreign learning a foreign language. So I think that it will offer them more power
mm-hmm.
and probably more freedom as well. So English has the power to do that.
So that's all for today. Thank you.
If you would like to comment or give feedback on the show, or be a guest on the show yourself, let us know. You can find us on Twitter at WeTeachLang. You can comment on any of the episodes on our website, or you can send a text message or leave a voicemail on our Google voice number, which is 629-888-3398. And if you leave us a voicemail, we may even play your question or comment on the air. And don't forget to tell your friends and colleagues about the show. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.